So stand, please, doxology.
Can you imagine how it sounds to the Heavenly Father's ears with all of the praise that's going on in heaven and all the praise that's going on in churches around the world all at one time? I bet, you know, when we get done, the Lord sort of claps. He's so glad to and enjoys the praises of his people. The Bible says he lives in, dwells in, inhabits the praises of his people. And so it's so great to praise the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. We're so glad that you're here. The weather's, we got some rain.
Yes, amen.
And we were needing it. And I'm sure there's some folks, you know, it was tempted this morning to turn over, but I'm the preacher, so I couldn't turn over. That reminds me of a joke. I don't tell much jokes, many, but this guy told his wife, says, "You know, I'm not going to school today. They don't like me." She says, "You got to go. You're the principal." And so sometimes, you know, you're the preacher. You got to go. If you're listening on the website or if you're listening out in the parking lot, we're glad that you've joined us as we worship the Lord together. May we pray. Lord, it's good to be in your house. Thank you for the rain that you're sending. Thank you for refreshing the earth, the crops. Thank you for your blessing today, Lord. And Lord, we thank you that you're here with us. Not only here with us, but Lord, you're in thousands and thousands of other godly churches all across the world. Same Holy Spirit, lifting up the name of Jesus, teaching us the Word of God, comforting us, challenging us, convicting us, loving on us. Thank you, Lord. We may feel like, well, we're just a little congregation here, but Lord, you're here. And anywhere you are is a great place. And so we're so grateful, Father, for your presence. We pray now, Father, as we worship you, may we not only worship, but may we hear your voice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ed, and good morning. It's good to see you all again this morning. And I guess we're all getting ready for Christmas. If we don't, it's going to pass us up anyway. But anyway, it's a beautiful to see the rain. If you would please, it's hymn sing time and it's Christmas time, so let's sing Angels from the Realm of Glory this morning as we all stand. Let's sing all the verses together, please.
Angels from the realms of glory, wings.
right, I have some announcements for you. First thing I want to cover, we've got a survey that we're going to be asking you all to respond to. And the survey is simply this. We'd like to know what you think. And you know, you get all these surveys, and I bet you get one about every day from social media some way or some company that you've done business with. But this is God's church, and we want to find out what is it, something new you'd like to see, anything you like to do. And I know, Brother Jim, we got into a choir, and we know that. The choir's not in here, but if you want to write it in, that's fine, because we're going to address that first of the year. But there's some things that we want you to answer and let us know how you feel. Now, they'll be right here, and then we'll have some at the front. But as you leave today, please take it and fill it out. If you don't have time, don't feel like you can fill it out all here today. You want to pray about it and think about it, take it home. But bring it back next Sunday, would you please? And let's get these done. Now, we don't want anybody, we're not going to pass them out before the message, because we don't want you to have to be doing them now. So if you would, we'll be doing that. All right, that's the survey. So please answer the surveys, if you would, please. Let's don't forget Wednesday night. Wednesday night's a very important time. We have Bible study each Wednesday night, and Pastor Ed is always there to do it. He's been leading up to what, seven? Is it 77? I hate to think, I can't remember. Is it 77?
77 or more.
Yeah, 77 or more signs that Jesus is coming soon. And, well, he didn't say now he's coming tomorrow now. Don't think that. He didn't say that. He could. But he's been teaching us, showing the signs that God has already given us to be aware of when Jesus is coming again. So he will be for sure. All right, all that. So be here Wednesday night and do that. Now, Golden Ages Christmas party. Golden Ages is going to get together. We're going to do what we do best. We're going to go eat. So we're going to go to the Golden Corral, and this will be done December the 20th. Meet here at the church. We'll carpool. We're going to up to Concord, so we'll carpool up that way. We won't get a bus for that, so do that, okay? So please sign up, and let's go and have a good time and worship. I mean, be together in fellowship, okay? Lottie Moon Christmas offering. We're in the midst of that now, in the midst of Christmas offering. Please be sure you do that, and your gifts will make a difference. Boston Butt Sale. Now, here again, the Baptist men and the ladies are working together this year for wings. I should have said wings, not just ladies. It's the wings are celebrating. We'll be having a Boston Butt Sale, and we'll be available on December the 16th from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. But not to 12 a.m. You need to have them in by Tuesday. Your sales. Wonderful. That's great.
Robert Hodges handed me a sheet that had eight on it.
Where'd it go, Robert?
A second ago. I hope everybody does that.
Yeah, he may get the award for the best. So sell them if you can. Okay, everybody else, okay? All right.
I have my hearing aid doctor. She's going to donate $50 to the college. She don't want a Boston bag.
Okay. Well, that's wonderful. That's wonderful, Robert. That's wonderful.
And we'll take money anytime.
Amen.
All right. Well, and I promise you one thing, it'll be used for a good cause. I don't know that we've ever taken any money to Baptist men and just spent it on ourselves. Maybe a meal, we do a meal maybe once in a while. That's been it. And so we share it with the community or someone in need. I'll assure you that. And Jeff can tell you that. It's many, many times we've done that. So you'll just know that the money will be to good use. Christmas cards, you need to get your Christmas cards in, and you got to have them in by Wednesday, December the 13th. If you don't, then you'll have to just bring them and somehow get it to us your way. Right, Kathy?
We've got them alphabetized. You can just stick them in the boxes.
I tease Kathy. I shouldn't do that. But anyway, December 13th is the best. And instead of stamps, you don't have to mail them, so take the money that you would normally spend for stamps and put it in the little church out there, and it'll be used for the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, okay? Christmas program. Christmas program will be December the 17th. Now, your praise team has been working very hard on this, and I think we're just, we got one more rehearsal to go, and that'll be Wednesday night, one more rehearsal to go. Your praise team's working on it, and we'll be presenting an evening of music to you, and also there'll be some hymns that you'll be helping us sing as well, and the children will be involved too. So, and then after that, we'll go down some and have some food. So, you know, we've got to eat, right? So we'll have some food at the end of that. So finger foods, they call it. Somebody asked me this morning, what is finger foods? I don't know. I know that's supposed to be something you can eat easily, right? And quickly. But I've not learned how to eat one of Brenda's apple dumplings with your fingers.
Well, I had a music director said, as far as he's concerned, banana pudding was finger food.
Yeah, somebody bring a pudding now. But the only thing I would take, if you've got a Krispy Kreme donut, I'll handle that with their fingers, right? You can do that. So anyway, let's have a good time and fellowship together in the Lord. Okay? And that's all the announcements I have. Am I overlooking anything at all?
Just that Rosina wanted the Wings ladies to be here by about 8:30-ish on Saturday. It's at the bottom of the Boston Bus.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed that. Okay.
I just stepped that in there today. So
okay, thank you. Okay. All right.
Let me mention one thing.
Yes.
If I understood Lionel yesterday, that West Stanley Christian Ministries did their day of ship giving, he said they had 27 churches that participated and over 400 families that got blessed from what the churches contributed as far as food, clothing, toys, everything. So thank you for being a part of that.
Yeah, and Lionel did say he would present something to the church, a report to the church about that too. So he will do that. So that's great news. Great news. Thank you, Pastor. Anyone else? All right. Then let's go to the prayer request this morning. Do I have any prayer requests this morning you need to share?
I have a praise report for Will so far. We're our fourth month after this horrible concussion. We weren't going to be able to start the vision therapy to get his eyes back normal until January. But we've been praying about it, and I got a call a few days ago, and he's going to start on Monday, so a whole month earlier, and she's got him worked in. And so just pray that therapy will help get him back to, a sense of normal. But we are just thankful for the prayers and the people that God has put in our pathway to get him healed from this. So thank you.
Also the Tennessee people in Tennessee, the victims of the tornadoes, we need to keep those people in our prayers this morning. What a horrible thing to do. What is horrible. Keep those in. I think she must be a nurse. She mentioned Ann Barbie this morning. Let's put land on our prayer. Yes. Excuse me, Ann Barbie. I'm not saying that she's sick or anything. I just think we need to remember her.
Well, yesterday I did talk to Ann.
Okay.
And she seemed the best that she's been in a long time as far as talking to her.
Yeah.
And she said, helped me to tell the church that she loved everybody and that she wanted to everybody to call her.
Okay. All right. So you heard. So everybody, give her a call.
You know, really emotional when she meets you.
Yes.
Put James Carpenter.
Okay.
On there, who's in the hospital. And also put Carolyn Carpenter on there too. We're both having a lot of issues.
Okay. Okay. That's James and Carolyn Carpenter. Okay. Anyone else? All right, then let's go to the Lord in prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this Lord's Day, a time that we can be in your house and to worship and to be able to fellowship with our membership here at Barbie's Grove. We thank you, Lord, again for those who prioritize their time each and every Sunday morning to be in your house, to be here and say thank you, Lord. Thank you for your blessings. And Lord, we do thank you. Know this Christmas season that we're in now, Lord, help us, Lord, always keep the Christmas season in our hearts. and to realize, Lord, that you indeed, the birth of the child, was indeed the reason for the season. We thank you, Lord, even though it's got so commercial that we seem to forget, some people forget it altogether. And Lord, they can't even say Christmas anymore. But oh, how sad. Oh, how sad. And Lord, we do thank you. We do honor you. And we do know what an awesome God you are. And we thank you for it. Then, Lord, we have those who have asked for special prayer this morning. We want to give a praise and thank you for your praise for Will. But, Lord, we know he's still got work to do and some more things to go through. And we pray for his strength. And, Lord, that you would restore him. Now, Lord, I pray to a normal degree of health. We praise, Lord. We pray, Lord, for the Tennessee victims, Lord, who suffered through the tornadoes over the evening. Lord, we pray for them, that the loss of life and loss of property, we pray for them, we pray. We lift them up to you, Lord. We pray for Ann, Lord. We miss her, Lord. We know she loves the church, and we pray for her, Lord. We ask that you would give her comfort. We pray, Lord, you give her joy in her soul. And then, Lord, we pray, Lord, for James and Carolyn Carpenter. We lift them up to you this morning. We ask, Lord, that you would fit a blessing to their hearts and to their bodies. And now, Lord, go forward as we go forward in the service today. We pray for Pastor Ed, who will be coming before us, Lord, and presented the message for us for our hearts and our lives. We ask, Lord, that we'll apply it to our hearts and life each and every day and be a witness to someone. And now, as we go forward today, Lord, if there's someone here today, Lord, that does not know you as their Savior, Lord, we pray, Lord, that they will be touched in their hearts and they will come to know you. Now, Lord, as we go forward, we again are going to thank you for all the blessings you've given us already. And we'll pray now, Lord, in this prayer I make, Lord, in your name, in Jesus Christ. Amen. We got another Christmas song to sing this morning. More of a praise type Christmas song. It's called The Birthday of a King.
If you would, please, let's all stand and sing together The Birthday of a King.
Children, you are dismissed.
I will make you fishers of men. If you follow me.
If you would, you could turn to the Gospel of John, the first chapter. As far as we know, Mark was the first of the Gospels that was written. Then Matthew came along and wrote sort of following Mark's outline and added a few things to it. And Luke. And then along comes John, written later. And since Matthew and Luke basically tell us most of what we know about the Christmas story, you know, the angels, the shepherds, the manger in Bethlehem, the wise men, the virgin birth, King Herod killing the little babies, the flight down into Egypt, all of those things that we think of as the Christmas story, John doesn't really get into any of that. He just starts off with telling us what it's all about. He tells us about who the truth of who Jesus is and why he came and what he did and what's the result and how we should live. And that's also an important part of the Christmas story. Why did Jesus come? What impact should it have on our life? What warnings come to us? And so let's look in the Gospel of John, the first 12, 14 verses this morning, and just see what John has to tell us about Jesus. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. You know, there are some beliefs that say, you know, there's God, the Father, and then Jesus came along later. But that isn't what the Bible implies, and that isn't what John says. John says, in the beginning was the Word. And one translation has the living expression of God instead of the word Word. And he says, he was there at the beginning. He was always there. Jesus is fully God. He was here from the beginning. He was there at the creation. He participated in the creation. You think about this. God does not say in Genesis, let me make man in my image. Did he? What does he say? Let us make man in our image. In other words, he's implying there's a Trinity there. There's a God there that's three in one, totally involved with creation. And you know, there's some groups that, Jesus and Holy Spirit are just sort of down here below the God the Father. But no, John says he was there, Jesus, in the beginning. He was there forever. And he participated in the creation, verse 3, all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In other words, Jesus participated in the creation. He was there, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In other places in the Bible, the Holy Spirit is mentioned as being a part of the creation. They were all involved in the creation. So don't let somebody lead you astray by demoting Jesus to a lesser stage or a lesser position in heaven. Jesus is God, fully man. And then he says in verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 5, the light shineth in darkness, the darkness comprehendeth it not. Jesus was light and life. As I wrote in the newsletter this week, we who are true believers in Jesus have God's light and God's life living in us. He's in us. And you know, people that have the light of Jesus living in them see the world differently than folks that are not believers in Jesus, that don't have that light. It's like they're staggering around out in the darkness without a flashlight. And you as a believer in Jesus have a flashlight. Now, depending upon your level of spiritual growth, your level of spiritual maturity, the light is seen bigger or brighter, seen further. Maybe one Christian is versus another. But the light is there. The light is there. You know, whether you're a 15-watt bulb or a 1,000-watt bulb, whatever, the light is in you. He said, Jesus is the light. He's the life. You ever shake your head at somebody and say, why don't they get that? Why can't they see that? How can they be so blind? Well, they're blind because they don't have the light and life of Jesus living in them. He says, the light shineth in darkness. You know the good thing about this, and he says, then the darkness comprehendeth it not. We use the word comprehend to mean to understand. But the translation here can also mean can't put it out. So I like both. You know, it doesn't matter how dark it gets out here. It can't get dark enough to put the light out. That light's still going to shine. It doesn't matter how dark it gets in our world. If you live for Jesus, your light is going to shine. What do you kids sing? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Yeah. The light shines. But also, the darkness can't put it out, but also, darkness doesn't understand the light. And that's what I've been getting at. They don't understand. How can you Christians believe in what you believe? How can you believe in a virgin birth? How can you believe in a Christ dying? How can you believe in a resurrection? How can you believe in a heaven? We've been talking some on Wednesday nights about the fact that Christians these days are getting a lot of flack about the global warming thing because Christians say there's a rapture coming and we're leaving. And so they say, you Christians don't care about global warming because you're going to escape. And they're laughing at us. Well, the truth is, we are going to escape. There's going to come a day when the trumpet of God's going to blow. The dead in Christ out here in the cemetery are going to rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with the Lord and will forever be with the Lord. There is an escape clause. And you know the world's going to have a hard time explaining. How come that church is empty down there on Sunday morning anymore? They used to have a nice congregation. And for a small church like ours, they may not be as surprised, but you go to some great big church that's usually having 2,000 or 3,000 and suddenly 300 people or 500 people show up and the other 2,500 are not there. It's going to be amazing. The light can't be put out, but lost people don't understand. They don't understand why you got up on a rainy Sunday morning and came to church. They don't understand why you put money in the offering plate. They don't understand why you want to bless others, like through the West Stanley Ministries or through the Lottie Moon. They don't understand. They just don't get it. Oh, but I'm so glad that no amount of spiritual darkness can put out the light of Jesus. Now, let's skip down to verse 10 and 11. Well, let's go back to 9. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. You know, the Jews were expecting a military Messiah, somebody that would come in with power and glory, and drive out the Romans, and set up a kingdom like David and Solomon had, where they ruled, and the Jews were the elite of the world. And when Jesus came, he didn't come that way. Now he's coming that way the second time, but the first time he didn't come that way, and they missed it. It says he came to his own. He came to people that had all of those Bible verses in the Old Testament that explained about where Jesus was going to be, where he's going to be born, what tribe he was going to come out of, all the things that would happen. And you remember on one occasion, Jesus said, "Search the scriptures, for they talk about me." Jesus said, "If you don't believe who I am, go back and look in your own Bibles, and you'll see that I am exactly who the scriptures said I would be." They were expecting an earthly king, and they missed it. They were expecting somebody to come in glory. They weren't expecting somebody to come and die on a cross and be resurrected. Now, here's a warning, I think, to all of us. We need to be so careful that we don't get to expecting God to speak in a certain way that we miss him because that isn't the way he speaks. We need to be careful that we don't miss God because we expect him to act in a certain way and we miss it because that isn't the way he acts. Now, I was thinking about this, and you know, I don't know how that concept got around when I was a kid at West Alamo Baptist Church, but somehow or other, the concept was, if you cried when you walked the aisle and got saved, you were really saved. But now, if you didn't cry, there was some doubt about whether you really got saved. Now, I don't know how that got started and how that got into my little brain, but somehow or another, that idea seemed to permeate the kids. Did you cry? Well, I was sitting just about where Leonard is when I decided, and just turned 9. I'd been talking to my mom and grandmom about being saved for weeks, and I was just turned 9 when I walked the aisle. I didn't cry a lick. I mean, I was ready. And I had to wonder, you know, sometimes I think, well, did I really get saved? I didn't cry. And I'm sure that some of the folks in the church thought, well, I doubt he got saved because he didn't cry. You know, we expect God to come in a certain way and speak in a certain way. But we need to be careful. You remember Elijah in the cave? Wind, earthquake, fire. And the scripture says he wasn't in the wind, he wasn't in the earthquake, he wasn't in the fire. But then God spoke what? With a still, small voice. Well, if Elijah had given up because he thought God was only going to speak in the wind or the earthquake or the fire, he'd have missed the still, small voice. We need to always be careful that we don't miss God because he doesn't speak in the way we expect. Sometimes we miss God because what he says to us doesn't make sense to our logical brain. You think about some scriptures. Joshua, I know the Jordan River's flooded. Tell those priests to step out there in the middle of it. And I guess if I'd have been a priest, I'd have been real tempted to say, hey, brother, it's your turn to carry the ark today. It's not mine. But as soon as those priests stepped out, the water stopped flowing, the ground dried up, and Israel walked across the Jordan River on dry ground. What about God saying to Joshua, okay, Jericho's a pretty tough city. Just march around it once a day for 6 days, and on the seventh day, march around seven times, and then shout and blow the trumpets and watch the walls fall. Lord, what about the battering rams? What about the ladders to scale the walls? No, didn't make any sense. But that's what God told Joshua to do. And I love the way we worked with Gideon. Enemy army was something like 110,000. Gideon tried to gather his army together and he got 32,000. So they outnumbered 3-1. I don't think the odds on that were real good. Especially when you're basically doing hand-to-hand combat. Every Israeli soldier, Israelite soldier fighting three guys. God said, oh, wait a minute, Gideon. 32,000 is too many. Tell all the ones that scared to go home. Oh, 22,000 of them packed up their duffel bags and went home. Well, okay, now we're outnumbered 11-1. Gideon, you still got too many. Take them down to the creek and let them drink water and then we'll separate them. Well, now Gideon, you got 300. Let's see, what are that? 300 versus 110,000. We're way outnumbered. Okay, Gideon, you got the right amount. You see, sometimes God says things to us that logically don't make sense. But yet they're God's way of speaking to us. And if we'll be obedient when God speaks to us, even if it doesn't make sense. Now, don't go off and do something foolish that God didn't say. You know, there's some people over the years that have been real flaky and done things that God didn't really say. But if you really hear from God, even if it doesn't make logical sense to your human mind, God's got a way of making it come to pass. There's another thought. You know, sometimes God speaks through an unexpected source. You reckon that old prophet freaked out when the donkey started talking to him? If you don't remember that scripture, go look it up. I mean, you know, that donkey goes to talking to him. But it doesn't have to be a donkey. Sometimes we look only to our wisdom, to older folks, and they can have a lot of wisdom. But you think about a couple of experiences in the Bible. Samuel's just a little kid. He was probably somewhere between 6 and 10. Samuel? Samuel! And he jumps up and runs to Eli and says, What do you want? Well, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. Samuel? Samuel? Eli, what do you want? I didn't call you. Go back to bed. Samuel, Samuel. Eli said, oh, God's trying to talk to you, son. And so the next morning, Eli wants to know what God's message is through Samuel. Now, here's a kid, just a child. But God spoke through that child and prophesied over that nation. Now, Eli could have said, you just had a bad dream and ignored it. And to one extent, he did ignore it. But God spoke through that child. I think about another story in the Old Testament. You remember, and it covers both of the two points I've just made. Naaman, the Syrian general, or the Syrian captain, I forgot whether it's a general or a captain. He has leprosy. And in his house is a little Israelite maid. She's probably something between 12 and 16. She'd been captured. And she says to Naaman, if you go to Israel, there's a prophet there that can cure your leprosy. Now, she was a foreigner. She was a kid. And unfortunately, she was female in the sense that, you know, people still look down on females. We wouldn't be anywhere without you, ladies. I thank God for the ladies.
Amen.
But, you know, she had everything going against her. He could have said, who do you think you are telling me, a military leader, where to go to get healed? But you know, he listened to her. He went to the prophet. Now that's where he almost messed up in the point I made earlier. Prophet says, go dip in the Jordan River 7 times. And he sort of ticked him off. What do you mean, that dirty, nasty Jordan River? We got some clean rivers over where I'm from. And he went away in a huff. And some of his men said, now listen, if he'd have told you something hard to do or expensive to do, you'd have done it. What's so difficult about just doing what the prophet said? So he goes down to the Jordan and he dips in the water. And on the 7th time, he came up healed. So you see, he was willing to listen to an unexpected source. And he was willing to hear an unexpected instruction. And he received what he wanted, what he needed. Jesus says, John says about Jesus, he came to his own, they didn't receive him. Because he wasn't like they expected. And we need to always be open. We need to always be open to God speaking to us through anybody in any situation. My dad used to have an expression, even a blind hog will find a few acorns sometime. Even that most unexpected person or situation that you think, I couldn't possibly get anything out of this, God can use to speak if we're willing to listen. Now, thank God he speaks often through recognizable sources and in such clarity that we don't have any doubt that it's God. But let's be careful that we're not like the people of Jesus' day and miss it. Even as we think about doing church, sometimes we get so hung up on, well, this is the way they do it down the street. This is the way the convention says do it. Or this is the way we've been doing it since right after the ark landed. And we miss out on God giving a new thing. I have a friend that's since passed away, fantastic discipleship pastor. In other words, when the churches he pastored excelled in discipleship. And he said to me one time, said, Ed, when you disciple believers in a church, you always cause problems. And he explained it this way. He said, you've got this group here that think they're spiritual. And you begin to disciple and develop some real spiritual growth. And this group over here begins to look bad. And they have to either get with the program or start a fuss. Now, I won't tell you which church, but one of the churches I pastored, guy comes up and says, not to me, but somebody else, how come I didn't get reelected as a deacon? And the person just had the boldness to say, well, this time they elected men that were coming Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, serving the Lord and tithing. And the old boy says, well, that weren't never no requirement before. You know? You see, the church had begun to recognize there's a difference between this and people that are really spiritually in tune with God. And he didn't like it. Well, eventually, he and his buddies made sure that a lot of those folks left the church. And the church suffered for years. We need to be careful to listen. We need to be careful to listen. And I want to read verse 14 and then go back to 12 and 13. But verse 14, the Word was made flesh. That means Jesus was born in the flesh, dwelt among us. He lived among the men. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now right there, John basically affirms the virgin birth. He says, the only begotten of the Father. He didn't say anything about being the son of Joseph. He said, Jesus was made flesh. He dwelt among us. He was begotten of the Father. So there, John basically affirms the virgin birth. Now back to verse 12 and 13. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. What happens when we believe in Jesus? We're not just born of the flesh, which all of us are if we came into this world, but now we're born of God. We're a part of God's power, God's family. He says he gave them the power to become the sons of God. So I wrote about the newsletter this week. We have God's DNA in us. God's power within us. Because we're born into the family of God. And every person has a choice. Reject or receive. And right here, John gives you a prelude to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And you know that whole conversation with Nicodemus. Nicodemus says, Jesus said, you got to be born again. Nicodemus said, how can I be born again? I'm an old man. How can I? And Jesus said, no, you don't understand. It's not a physical birth, it's a spiritual birth. And right here, John is giving us a prelude to John 3, where he says there's a spiritual birth. And we need to get it. Becoming a believer in Jesus is not just walking the aisle, not just going through the baptistry. A lot of people do that, not just taking a confirmation class or new member class of some kind. Becoming a true follower of Jesus Christ involves a new radical change in here where God's presence comes to dwell and live in us. And we can be baptized multiple times. Some priest can do life's rites over us till his fingers wear out. But if we have not had a personal experience with Jesus Christ, a born-again experience, where he has given us the power to become sons of God, where we are born not of the will of man, but we're born of God, we're not going to go to heaven. And it troubles me to think how many people are church members, but not members of heaven. They've walked an aisle, but they've never truly been made new through the power of God. I was talking a minute ago about having to cry to really prove you're saved. I like this expression. It's not how high you jump. It's how straight you walk when you hit the ground. We can come to the altar and we can cry and we can boo-hoo and we can sob and we can ruin the carpet. But when we really change, when we go out that door, we're going to live for Jesus. And people are going to see the light and life of Jesus in us. We're going to be different. Now, depending on our spiritual growth and our maturity, how long we've been a Christian, how we've been taught in Sunday school and through the pulpit and through our own personal studies, the light will be brighter or dimmer, but there's still going to be light and life emanating from us to a dark and dying world. May we have such a marvelous experience with Jesus that everybody we meet will know this man, this woman, is a true child of God. If you're here and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you've joined a church somewhere and been baptized but never really known Jesus, we invite you to come to him today. Just come on down the aisle. If you're listening to me out in the parking lot or maybe over the website, if you've never been born again, you need to believe. Do you really believe that Jesus is the Son of God? That he died on a cross? That he was resurrected? That he now lives in heaven? That one day he's coming again? Do you trust him as your Lord and Savior? Confess him with your mouth, believe in your heart, then you're saved. Father, I pray that every person that's listening to me now and at any time in the future is truly born again, truly ready to be transported to heaven at whatever appropriate moment. And Father, help us not to get so fixed on how we perceive that you should speak to us or act or do that we miss you. Help us to have ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts to understand, wills to obey, that we might walk with you in power and anointing, in joy and in peace. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, and give you peace in Jesus' name. Amen. And remember the surveys down here as you prepare to leave.